John Kurcharo, who is the director principal of Willits Charter School, grades 6 through 12, spending 26 years in Northern California and 15 years here in Willits, playing an incredible number of roles: intervention specialist, crisis counselor, substance abuse counselor for Mendocino County Health and Human Services, private contractor with the county and the juvenile probation system, and this is his second year as principal director of Willits Charter School, and relocating in July. So we need to get everything out of him we possibly can in the next few months and in this conversation today.
I work for the Willits Charter School. It's a public charter charters issued by Willits Unified School District. And our mission is to educate grades 6 through 12. Anyone can come to our school so long as they go within our district. And if they're from the out-of-district, they do come in if there's spots available. I describe Willits Charter School as part of a larger community, though. I've worked in most middle schools and high schools in Mendocino County, and there's a huge group of committed people trying to educate our children, and I would include us in that team. And for me, education, yeah, we have the classroom, we have the curriculum, we have the teachers and the students, but as these ladies alluded to, it's about a family support system. And I think what makes Willits Charter School unique is our focus on family connections and family involvement in the child's education. And without that, I think the classroom itself is kind of hobbled and hamstrung. It's not as functional. So we do our best to involve the families and support services throughout the community to help our kids get their education. And I think in this day and age, it really is challenging for children to show up for school with the distractions and with the other enticements of what's in their world, along with the socioeconomic demographics in our community. So for me, I always think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Until those basic needs are met, people usually can't focus on the next thing. And I think it's our job as educators and communities to help those basic needs be met so the kids can show up in their lives for education. And we've had a lot of interaction with Mendocino College and NCO, and I think that's that collaborative nature that serves children and families the best, is to break down those walls of divisions and budgets and say, what is our ultimate purpose here as community members and leaders in our community? And how do we step up for not just this segment of the family or the community, but how do we step up for the families that build a community? Really, I don't like to look at barriers. I don't like to look at them as a force to contend with. I like to assume they're not going to be there. And that, for me, has worked. I expect the best out of the people that are also serving families and kids. So when I call for an appointment, I expect to get it. When I knocked on a principal's door when I was a youth worker or a substance abuse counselor, I expected to be welcomed into the office and to have a few minutes of their time. And I rarely experience the other. And I think part of that is, like I said, you know, we carry, in my opinion, forward our intention of service, especially as leaders in the community. And I think if we come from that place, people feel it. That energy is in the room, and they make time. And I try to give that back in the same way as an administrator at the school. If a parent comes in, rarely do I not have time to have them in my office and sit down. I rarely ask them to schedule another appointment. If it's important enough for them to come into my office and to ask for my time, whether it's by phone or in person, I assume that's my responsibility as a community member, not just as administrator, to respond to that human being in front of me. And, you know, that's the modeling and the lessons that we teach our kids. That's the kind of parent and worker they're going to be when they grow up. And for me, that mentoring culture, it's lacking in many communities. And it's lacking in our own in some respects. You know, we like to make these divisions around professionalism and degrees and income. And, you know, I'm really not a traditional administrator. And I probably rub people the wrong way sometimes when I talk about youth development and what I'd like to see for kids. But I'd love to see a paradigm shift from the emphasis on income to an emphasis on meaning. And when I have my conversations with students about what their path is going to be, and again, I'm not saying it's an easier path. In fact, sometimes it's more difficult, but I always encourage them to, you know, don't chase the money, chase the meaning, and live within those means, because that's what's going to serve us and our families. You know, I mean, I know that we all have stories either in our own family or people that we've heard about or know. I'll think of my uncle who spent, you know, 35 years doing a job he hated to retire, to sail around the world. By the end, he was physically and emotionally incapable of following that dream. And he died within 3 years of retirement of stress-related illnesses that developed in chasing that dream. But, you know, so for me, you know, I'd really like to see us as communities value the dreaming of the kids, you know, and encouraging them wherever their passion is. You know, because those passions change. I mean, I never wanted to set foot in another school after my second high school. My third high school inspired me, a teacher in particular, and made me want to go to college. I went to college right out of high school, out of my third one. I wasn't prepared. I didn't learn the study skills or the academics, but I was smart. But I had other challenges, those Maslow's needs, and I spent 3 semesters at University of Maryland and failed out miserably. I went into the military, for good, bad, or indifferent. Came out and went back to school. I was ready. I was motivated. And for me, I guess what success is when I see a shift in the students from that extrinsic motivational factors to the intrinsic. That's when we've succeeded with a kid, because, you know, I've worked with probation. I've worked with you know, disciplinary policies in our school and rules and consequences at home, working with families. And those are all extrinsic. It's like, how do we corral this child into compliance? And, you know, on some level, for safety and for whatever reasons, social reasons, we need to do that on some level. But when I see a shift from a kid that says, you know, John, you know what I'm thinking about doing? Wow, what are you thinking about doing? That's great. And for me, it could be just as beneficial to graduate high school, buy a good pair of hiking boots and a backpack, and hit the road in Europe for a year. You know, I have friends and relatives that have done that, and it's inspired them, and it's led to other things, and they're as successful or more successful than most people I know. But it's not the traditional path. And so for me to spend that fortune on private school or university because it's what's supposed to happen, I think it's a disservice to kids. I think it does interrupt that lifelong learning cycle, because then I would imagine people get out of college and say, I'll never set foot in another college again, because it was this extrinsic force. You know, this is what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, I come from a family that's had some hardships around that, where people in my family have given up and left the planet because they weren't supported in the dream direction and they couldn't handle the other one. So for me, I look at every family and every kid as, you know, what are they looking for? And, you know, there are no guaranteed formulas for success. You know, there aren't. You know, there may have been a very high percentage chance if you got a 4-year degree, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, you're dialed. You know, you went to a company, you know, General Electric or Ford, and you stayed with them for 30, 40 years, and you know, had a golden parachute pension plan. That's not happening anymore. And the average person, I think, changes jobs or careers 8 to 10 times in their lifetime. And if we don't kind of prepare kids in a positive way to accept that, you know, I'm on my, I don't know what career, but that's what I do. And it's not because, you know, I can't continue in what I'm doing. It's because I want to be in control of that future. And I want to live as many lives in a productive community-based way as I can. Not everybody's into that. But just like people in my life, like my mom, have supported me in my dreaming, that's what kept me going. You know, I was about to open up a restaurant, and the opportunity came, and the opening day was 3 weeks later, which is breaking every rule. And I had a lot of people in my life saying, John, you're crazy. Why would you do that? You're going to fail. And at one point, about a week and a half into it, I, you know, called my mom. I always do. And told her, you know, I don't think I'm going to do this. She goes, Johnny, what are you doing? And I said, you know, people are just telling me I'm crazy. You know, I haven't met with another restaurateur. I've never run a restaurant, this and that. And she told me something that I'll never forget. And she said, you know, Johnny, there's enough people in the world. They're a dime a dozen. They're going to ant on your dreams every day. Surround yourself with people that support you, that believe in you, even if they don't understand what you're doing. And that's what I did. We were open 3 years. We were breaking even at 3 years. That's ahead of the curve. We decided to close. We were done, and we wanted to live another dream. That's when we came to Willits. So, you know, for me, success is that, you know, when do those kids and the families start supporting that child's dream? And we don't always understand it. You know, I'll tell every teenager I work with, I have no idea what it's like to be a teenager in 2014 in Willits, California, period. And nobody in this room does. You know, and if we don't live with that kind of knowledge that we don't know what it's like for them, then we tend to tell them what's best for us, not what's best for them. I'm thinking of two things, and one is something we're trying to do at the charter school, which is building skills, life skills, not just the academic skills, which I think are very important, but our culinary arts program, teaching kids to be adept in a kitchen. I mean, that's a life skill that keeps giving all the time. To home economics, you know, it's been something that's been kind of gutted from our educational system, except for in wealthy districts. They still teach finance, personal finance, and you know, how to take care of a home and how to open up a checking account. We're trying to initiate that more and more with our kids. For me, it's really about developing that student that's ready to engage in their life. And to do that, they need to be able to create a household, to not be dependent on fast foods and convenience foods, to not, you know, have to hire out for everything. You know, my father taught me one thing, and it was, Johnny, do this. And didn't give me a lot of direction, but it taught me that I could learn. And if the kids come out ready to learn and having the confidence that they can learn what's put in front of them, I think that's a powerful thing. The second thing that I think is really underpinning everything we need is funding. There is no way our county, especially Willits, is coming out of their educational budget crisis by themselves, not without gutting beyond bone. And it's not a local solution, and I know what some people think it is, but I don't think you can cut enough to dig out of this hole, and I don't think it's our fault. I've got relatives that live in communities where the kids are funded almost $20,000 per child. We get, you know, at Willits Charter, just a little over $6,000 per child. And we do the best we can with that, but I'm constantly forced to make these Sophie choices of whether I have more aides or whether I have another full-time teacher. I'm relocating, and I hope to come back in the next 5 years. And what I'd like to see is a well-funded school system where teachers and administrators can focus on the purpose of their work and not on, you know, the crumbs on the floor and what we're going to do with them, how we're going to divvy them up. For me, it's heartbreaking. I was at the school board meeting. We were presenting our annual report to the district, and you know, one of my friends who's a teacher at one of our schools made a heartfelt speech about collaboration and about, you know, and he was directing it towards not only the charter school, but also towards the school board and towards the administration and, you know, for all of us to really remember why we're here and why we chose that professional field. And for me, it's back to following your dreams. And I always encourage people, if that's not their dream and they're just in there pulling a check, please leave and find something that you're passionate about, because we're fighting when we should be caring for the kids. So I'd like to see a fully funded school system where we're not counting enrollment dollars, which I know the college has to do, and I know that we have to pay attention to. But, you know, in my opinion, myself, along with other people within the school districts that I work with, when we talk about school placement, I take that administrator hat off. I know they do too, and we find the best place for that student, regardless of whether it takes something from my enrollment or theirs, and I believe in that. And I think the more we don't have to worry and bicker about the money, and it's literally, you know, we're down to dollars, literally dollars people are scrambling for. You know, I think that would be a huge benefit to our kids, our family, and our community, because communities grow with the school system. And some people disagree with me, but when families come in, especially young families that have a lot of earning potential in their lives yet to have, they look for schools for their kids. And if they step into our community and read our newspapers and check our, you know, the status, the pulse of our school system and see bickering and funding problems, they move on to the next community and they look for another town. It's very, very important to young families where their kids go to school. So if we want to grow our community, the economy, you know, the economic potential in Mendocino County, especially in the waning years of our marijuana industry, which it is, you know, it may always be here, but it's not what it was. We have to grow this economy in a way that supports young families. And to do that, like I said, the school system has to be solid and unquestionably funded with integrity for the kids. You know, obviously there's a reason to take this Leadership Mendocino course, and I'm assuming that people are engaged and want to really add to our community here. And I encourage you to look for ways to interface with the schools. And Willis Charter School is a public school. It's a public charter. And a lot of people get confused because there's a lot of for-profit charters, and they're very different. You know, we don't require tuition. We don't turn anybody away. If there's a spot, they got it. So we're part of the public school system, but yet we're not held to all the education codes. So that allows us to be kind of an incubator of new ideas. So we can take things and run with them in the classroom and on a school-wide basis that then the larger systems, which have a little harder time adjusting and turning back if something's not working, can you know, see what we're doing and maybe, okay, that's working, we'll try that. And I've seen that in our schools. Like I said, I've worked in all these schools, and I've seen them adopt some of the things that the charter school has done in the last 13, 14 years. And for me, like I said, whether you have kids in the school system or not, the adults in the community, whatever your skill is, please approach an administrator, approach a school site, and see whether there's something that you could offer. And sometimes the timing's just not right, and people will get turned away. But keep coming back, because we need the adults to help mentor these kids. And this is no disrespect to any families that I've worked with or know, but oftentimes the families, for one reason or another, can't show up in that way. And, you know, it really takes all of us to role model for these kids, whether it's on the street, in the park, in the theater. I mean, just being solid adults in kids' lives, you know, in youth development, there's kind of a little adage, you know, it takes one individual, it takes one person to make a genuine, authentic connection with a young person that could change their life. And I was fortunate, I could count three, you know. I could count my drill sergeant, I could count Clive Adams, who I first moved out and lived with out at Emmendale when I came to Willits. And I can think of my father. And they all had different strengths, and I had to kind of pull the best from each one. But without them, Miss Smith, ninth grade. I was probably the most challenging middle school and high school student you'll ever meet. No student that I've ever worked with ever hits my point of challenge in the classroom or in the school or in the community, I promise you. And she spun a negative into a positive. We were at a parent night in her health class, and she gave me a little award for the most knowledgeable, because I would share what I knew, but she didn't share that part. You know, she wouldn't share that part. She had me stand up and gave me an authentic appreciation, and it was one of the few I got in school. And in another assembly, I helped Mr. McLeese, who was a social studies teacher that I tormented. And he asked me one weekend to help him move some wrestling mats across town. And I helped him. And 3 weeks later, he gives me a citizenship pin at an all-school assembly. Never forget it. And in my true form, as they were announcing, you know, so-and-so is going to get this award, I'd stand up for everyone. Go, oh, yeah. You know, and play that clown. And I did it for that one, and my name came up. And I immediately went, you know, and it touched me, and I'll never forget that. So little interactions with young people. One of my first jobs was an outreach worker for the Youth Project, and I had to basically kind of investigate the park and find homeless kids and out-of-school kids and try to help them back into school. And I spent the first 3 days before my job started just sitting on a bench looking. And I watched group after group, individual after individual of adults take the long road around groups of teenagers. They wouldn't interact. They wouldn't walk past them close enough to hear them. They didn't want to take the risk of just saying hello. And so I decided that if I was going to start this kind of work in my community, that's where I'd start. And I walked up to these circles, and I'd sit down with them, and they go, "Who is this?" You know, I tell them so they weren't scared of me. You know, "I work for somebody. Don't worry." anyway, you get my point. Thank you.
Thank you to the amazing educators we have here. Thank you.